بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on Umdat al-Ahkam, Book of Fasting, and this hadith is hadith number 5 under the chapter. And this is the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقاه. Abu Hurairah رضي الله تعالى عنه reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, if anyone forgets that he is fasting and eats or drinks, he should complete his fast. For it is only Allah who has fed him and given him drink. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for it is only Allah who has fed him and given him drink, is evidence that the action from this doer is not intended. He did not intend to oppose. And from this we deduce the following benefits. First, the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His creation, and that His mercy precedes His anger, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold the ummah responsible for forgetfulness. The next benefit is that forgetfulness is from the human nature, so therefore it is not something to be considered as inexcusable. Rather, it is an excuse. And what it holds as evidence for this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran relating the invocation of the companions, رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Allah, hold us not responsible, accountable for if we forget and or fall into error. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I do, meaning forgive, and does not hold you or punish you for that. And also the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I am a human like you, أَنْسَى كَمَا تَنْسَوْنَ, I forget like you forget. The next benefit is that fasting is not invalidated by eating and drinking due to forgetfulness. And by analogy, anyone who does an act which breaks the fast out of forgetfulness, then there is nothing upon him. In one report, this hadith, in one report from Abdar Qutni, there is akala aw shariba, eats or drinks or breaks the fast, faaftar, in one report from Abdar Qutni, or breaks the fast due to forgetfulness, then there is nothing upon him. So therefore, textually, if he eats or drinks, and also by ruling and analogy, if he indulges in sexual intercourse with the wife due to forgetfulness, because it falls under the other narration from Ad-Dharqutni. فأفطر does what? Causes breaking of the fast, and this is the preponderating opinion. And there is no difference between the person eating something beneficial or harmful, or neither this or that, meaning that breaks the fast if done intentionally. Example of something beneficial, if he eats, for example, rice, something harmful, if he takes poison stuff, that which is neither this nor that, if he eats paper, if he eats that while he is fasting, then this invalidates the fast. And if he eats something which does not melt in the stomach, then like beads, for example, then also this breaks the fasting. Well, if someone says, now there is no benefit in that, while eating and drinking mentioned in the Quran and mentioned in this hadith, there is benefit in them. The answer, what makes you sure? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wrap a stone around his abdomen because of hunger, and that benefited him? And so it may be that if this person fills his stomach with something, even coins, he may benefit from. So the point is that eating and drinking invalidate the fasting, whether they are beneficial or non-beneficial or neutral. What about injections in the muscle, or subcutaneously, or IV injections? These don't fall under eating or drinking, and they don't take the meaning of eating and drinking, or the ruling on that, whether they go in the blood, or under the skin, or in the muscles. However, the injections that are nutritional in type, then they invalidate the fasting. So if the physician says, a trustworthy physician, that it's inevitable to take such injections while the person is fasting, then we say it's okay, he can take them and eats and drinks, because in this case it is permissible for him now to break the fasting. From the benefits of this hadith is that the person's fasting is not invalidated if he eats or drinks, even if he gets himself full. But this ruling does not hold if he remembers, even when he has one sip in his mouth, then in this case he should stop and cease and does not swallow that, because the ruling goes along with its cause. As long as he ate and drank due to forgetfulness, there is nothing upon him. But when he remembers and the water is in his mouth, then in this case it is obligatory upon him to stop and spits it out. From the benefits of this hadith is that the fasting of the person in a state of forgetfulness, if he eats and drinks, then it is not in any way diminished. Because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلْيُتِمَّ صَوْمَهُ, let him complete his fasting. This indicates its continuity. There is nothing diminished from it. And alhamdulillah, for this. So therefore, from this we learn also a foundation that anyone who does any invalidator from the invalidators of worships while excused, then his worship is not invalid and continues, is ordered to continue it as an obligation if it is an obligatory worship, and as recommended if it is a recommended worship. For example, if someone speaks in salah due to forgetfulness or compulsion or ignorance, then he is commanded to continue. If he eats and drinks while forgetting in fasting or due to ignorance or compulsion, as we will learn, then he continues his fasting. In Hajj, if he indulges in sexual intercourse with his wife due to forgetfulness, then his Hajj is not invalidated and continues the Hajj. What would you say concerning a person who eats some dates all the way until there remains one date from the dates he has? He eats while in Ramadan or while fasting. Then he remembers when there is only one date left. Then he ate this date after he remembered and said, if the previous dates invalidate the fasting, then this is a completion. And in case they don't invalidate the fasting, then this will not be harmful. And our Shaykh rahimahullah said that this actually took place. He said a man bought some grapes and went to his family and began to eat from the grapes. For, you know, he forgot and he was fasting. So they reminded him, how come you are eating when you are fasting? He said, I ate due to forgetfulness. I didn't remember. I forgot. And there remained one grape. So he ate it. And he said, if the first ones do not invalidate, then this one will not invalidate. And if the first ones invalidate, then I already invalidated my fasting. Then he went to the Sheikh, and the Sheikh was a judge. And he asked him, and the Sheikh or judge said, if you didn't eat that piece that only left grape, then your fasting would have been valid and completed. But now you willfully ate that grape, and so you invalidated your fasting. And this is true and right, what he said. Although he forgot, but he is not excused, because it is now, or it was obligatory upon him to ask when he doubted. So therefore he willfully chose to eat that piece or that grape. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge in case you know not. So accordingly, the fatwa of this qadi, of this judge, was correct. The hadith, as we said earlier, holds it true also in the case of someone who may indulge in sexual intercourse with his wife and forgetting that he is fasting. And the correct opinion, in this case, there is nothing upon him, neither make up for this day, nor kafara, nor an expiation. And this is the correct opinion, because some scholars are with the opinion that there is upon him kafara and make up. Now, if someone says, is there evidence for this in the book of Allah? The answer is yes. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. O Allah, punish us not if we forget nor or err. And this is general, applicable to all worship. And anyone who claims that a certain worship is to be excluded or exempted from this general ruling, then he is required to bring the evidence. Now, what about the one who may do this out of ignorance, may break the fast out of ignorance? The answer, yes, he also falls under the same ruling. There is nothing upon him. Rather, this is even more of a priority to be considered. Why? Because the jahil, the ignorant, doesn't, in principle, he doesn't know. While the person who forgets, he knows, but he forgot. And al-jahil, ignorance, is of two types. Jahlun bil-hukm, ignorance regarding the ruling. And second, jahlun bil-waqa, ignorance regarding the situation. The jahl bil-hukm, jahlun bil-hukm, the ignorance regarding the ruling, is for a person to do, take an invalidator of fasting, thinking that it does not invalidate the fasting, meaning thinking that it is allowable. As to the second type, the al-jahlu bil-hal, the ignorance regarding the situation, is to know that eating and drinking, for example, invalidate the fasting. But he thinks that he is in the might, and afterwards it becomes clear that he was eating and drinking after Fajr. Also, someone who thinks that the sun has set and he eats and drinks, then shortly he comes to realize that it didn't. So this is jahlun bilhal, ignorance regarding the situation. So therefore, al-jahl is of two types. And again, what is the evidence that al-jahl, ignorance, is included in the exemption and in the pardoning? The evidence is the generality of the proof in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا لَا تُوَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. And this is a foundation from the one who is all acquainted, all wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who may tell you that there is an exemption from this generalization, we tell him, where is the dalil? Where is the evidence for you? Now, as to some evidences regarding the ignorance by the ruling, the hadith of Uday ibn Hatim, when he intended to fast and he began to eat in the latter part of the night, and then he put under his pillow two ropes. Those ropes they used to Adi ibn Hatim to tie with the camels with, to lead the camels with, and and then he would look at them and see if the white one is distinct from the black one, then he would hold. So there's no doubt that he ate after Fajr, knowing that he is eating after Fajr, but he thought that the ruling is as such under such situation. But in the next morning, when he went to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him, what does this mean? This means to the emergence of Fajr. He didn't tell him, go and make up for this day. Why? Because he was ignorant. He was ignorant. As to the example concerning the al-jahl bil-hal, the ignorance about the situation, is in the report, in the hadith reported by al-Bukhari from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, when she said, we broke the fast on a cloudy day during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then the sun appeared. So they broke the fast during the day before the sunset, and the Prophet ﷺ did not command them to make up. And had the making up for this day, had it been something obligatory, he would have ordered them. And if he would have ordered them, then it would have reached us, and it would be from the preserved Sharia. So, since nothing of that happened, then this is evidence that it is not to be the case to make up. And also it falls under the general verse, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِيْنَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا, our Lord punish us not if we forget or fall into error. And this is the correct opinion in both situations, because we need to know that some of the scholars are of the opinion that they need to make up under both situations. But the correct one and the preponderating opinion is that, as you have heard from the evidences, that this is not the case. Now, if someone says, why don't you equate between eating and drinking and the latter third of the night and at the end of the day in case of ignorance, and so therefore there should be no makeup? The answer is, yes, we equate. But there is difference in one case, in one aspect. If the person eats doubting the setting of the sun, then it is forbidden for him to do so, because it is not permitted for him to break the fast except upon certainty or most likelihood. Upon certainty or most likelihood. However, if he eats doubting the emergence of dawn, then this is permissible, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, and eat and drink, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ, until it becomes distinct for you, the thread of day and the thread of night from for the daybreak. And this is the difference. Now, since we are talking about the issue of ignorance, there remains one important matter. If someone knows that his action is haram and invalidating of the worship, but if and then he is ignorant as to what it entails from punishment and or consequences, Is in this case he is excused for that or no? The answer, no. He is not excused for not knowing the consequences. Example. Someone fasting during the day of Ramadan, knowing that intercourse, the lawful intercourse with the wife, during the day of Ramadan is forbidden. He knows that. But he does not know that there is a severe expiation for that if he commits it. He thinks that he can make one day for that and that's it. Now the question is there kafara upon him if he does this act? Is there an expiation upon him? The answer is yes. The reasoning is that he deliberately took to oppose, and the kafara is a situational ruling, and situational rulings, if their causes exist, then they are affirmed, and therefore in this case the kafara is binding upon him. This is by way of reasoning, and it is clear. Now as to the dalil, the evidence for this is the hadith of Abu Huraira concerning the man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I am destroyed. And he told him, what destroyed you? He said, I did intercourse with my wife in Ramadan while fasting. So the Prophet ﷺ then gave him the priorities of the expiation, and it was binding upon him to expiate. There was no excuse for him being ignorant of what? Of the consequences. He knew that it is haram, right? And then he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I am destroyed. He did not know about the kafara, but it was binding upon him. Is this clear? This is important. We need to distinguish between these matters. Is that clear? Not knowing what the hukum, the ruling entails, does not free the person from responsibility. So far now we conclude the following, that all the invalidators in case of forgetfulness are not harmful, but the person, the moment he knows, the moment he remembers, then he should cease. Also with ignorance there is no harm, whether the ignorance is related to the timing or ignorance related to the ruling. But when he knows, then he must stop and cease. And from that, if a person indulges in an intercourse with his wife late at night and when this jima', this intercourse took place, it became clear that the dawn broke. Is there makeup and expiation on him? The answer, if he continues in the jima' and the intercourse while knowing that the fajr broke, then in this case there is makeup and expiation, and this is no problem at all. This is if he continues. Clear? This is if he continues. Is that clear? While knowing that the fajr broke, the daylight broke of fajr, then there is makeup upon him and there is expiation. Now, but if he seizes and pulls out, does not continue, what is the ruling? The ruling is the correct opinion, there is nothing upon him. We say the correct opinion because there is another opinion, that there is makeup and expiation. Why? Because the other opinion says, well, because he is still enjoying the intercourse even while pulling, as he enjoys in a regular intercourse. And so this enjoyment entails upon him makeup and expiation. But this is problematic. If he continues, there is makeup and expiation. And if he pulls out, then there is makeup and expiation. What should he do then? The answer is he must stop. And it is forbidden for him to continue. But to say that there is makeup and expiation upon him under this situation when he ceases, then this is weak. So therefore, under these situations where the person intends to stop and relieve himself from the forbidden, then this is considered to be an obedience. And therefore we cannot say that he is holding, is being sinful for that. Now there remains the third one. The third one is, next to forgetfulness and ignorance, there is compulsion. Does the compulsion compelling one to break the fast, does it really break the fast or the fasting person? The answer is no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ahzab, the evidence, 33 verse 5. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِمْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And there is no sin on you if you make a mistake therein, except in regard to what your hearts deliberately intend. And in this case, this person is compelled, therefore he is not deliberately intending. You see that? Clear the deduction from this verse? طيب. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah An-Naml, مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. Whoever disbelieved in Allah after his belief, except him who is forced thereto, and whose heart is at rest with faith, this is the exemption, right? But such as open their breasts to disbelief, on them is wrath from Allah, and theirs will be a great torment. You see the difference. So there is exemption for whom? Who is forced, and whose heart is what? Is at rest with faith. So, if this holds regarding faith, al-kufr, which is the greatest of shirk, of sins. So therefore, with the lesser, it applies by all means. And so therefore, if a woman was fasting and her husband wants her for intercourse and she refuses, and she says, I am fasting what? Not optional fasting, but obligatory fasting. So he forced her into it and had intercourse with her. Then there is nothing upon her, because she is compelled. And this is clear. However, suppose when he compelled her, she yielded. And she did not enable him of herself in order to ward off the compelling. Rather, yielding to the compelling, the difference between the two situations, between yielding to the compelling and yielding to ward off, In this case, the scholars, rahimahumullah, may Allah's mercy be upon them, differed. Some of them said, she is not excused. But the correct opinion is that in both cases, she is excused. That is because the compelled on any action, if he does it to ward off the compelling, or due to the compelling, then this is the same. Is that clear? It is the same. In effect. Clear. طيب. Okay. Let's take example. Someone forces someone to disbelief. Upon disbelief. Forces him to disbelief. By saying, my